Aloha, it's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Grateful you're here with us as we send off one of the biggest names ever in music, Clive Davis. He passed at the start of the week at 94, a cat who had wide influence in the recording industry as an attorney, executive, A&R guy, producer, and we're celebrating his life with memories from some of our guests, starting with Dionne Warwick in 2019, remembering the giant Clive Davis here on HBR.
Another very special partnership of yours that is set to be a public benefit event, and it's called Dinner with Dionne, May 17th, New York City, Clive Davis, and it's supporting the Dionne Warwick Institute of Economics and Entrepreneurship. Talk about that incredible relationship.
Clive has been a friend for more years than we want to admit. From the very beginning of my career, and that's when I first met him. But he has always been there for me, and that's the kind of relationship and friendship spring over years. I asked him if he would be my guest, and he's absolutely would be my guest.
And now for the folks who are tuned in who are thinking, Clive Davis, I've heard that name through the years. It's one of those heavy names. Why is Clive Davis so important to you and in general? Why is he an important guy?
Well, he's important to the industry, period. Clive Davis is the proprietor, and he started a little record label called Arista Records. And actually his first client was Barry Manilow. After producing Barry Manilow's historic rise to stardom through his recordings, you know, he had people like Aretha Franklin, like my cousin Whitney Houston. He also was very much involved with Earth, Wind & Fire, Janis Joplin. I mean, the list is too long to go through to give you an example of the importance he is to this industry. I call him the man with the golden ears. He has an ability to find wonderful songs for the artist and is quite suitable for the artist he finds it for, as he did for me.
And if you're an Earth, Wind & Fire fan, then you may know a thing or two about Clive Davis. Here's Verdeen White on the topic, back in 2016 when he was our guest.
That's right. Well, Clive Davis was the one that gave us our big, big break. Clive did, you know, on Columbia Records. And even in Clive's book, he talks about it was a big risk. It was because he brought us to London to show us off in front of all of the, at that time, rack jobbers and, you know, and record company owners and record store owners and things like that. And, of course, Clive, it's always been Clive Davis. And so other labels followed him, you know, I mean.
Trendsetters.
Exactly. You know, after he did it on CBS Records and Warner Brothers did it and Elektra Records did it, you know, then a lot of the records invested. You know, you had African-American disc jockeys, you had radio, you know, it really started a huge explosion at that time.
We got some real insight into Clive Davis when in 2021, Judy Collins told us about the last time just a few years back that she got to spend time with Joni Mitchell, thanks to Clive.
And when was the last time on that note that you've seen her?
Clive Davis arranged for us to be together at a Grammy party 2 years ago.
Oh.
And I went out. You know, he has this quite famous pre-Grammy party. It's a big deal, a lot of people. You know, Clive knows everybody. I'll tell you a funny story about Clive in a minute. So he arranged for Joni to come, and she was still very limited. She was in a wheelchair, and she was not talking or speaking or anything at that point. But he got her to the Hilton in Los Angeles, and he got me there, of course, with the band and so on. And I was able to sing Both Sides Now to her.
Wow.
And so he felt very good about putting that together, and it was very sweet of him to do that. I'll tell you, when we did a podcast with Clive, I've known Clive also for almost 60 years, and my lawyer, David Braun, introduced me to Clive early on in New York. I moved here in 63, and right away I was going to parties where Clive was throwing them or other people were throwing them in the business. So I've known him forever. And I'm not a client, which means that I can have it. I have a different relationship to him. Once in a while we go to his parties, but I don't have to answer to him nor he to me. But that gives me a very nice perspective. And so I said to him, I know probably you've been asked this question, And I said, who got away? Who was the one who got away? And he said, you know, that's interesting. Nobody's ever asked me that. They always say, who did you fire? Who did you drop from your label? Who did you give a hard time to? Who do you fight with that was ever, you know, that you ever paid money to? So he said, it's an interesting question. And the answer is, you'll be surprised, it was Harry Chapin.
Wow.
He said, your guy, president of my label, Jack Holzman, your guy outbid me.
Wow. And that's his big loss of...
That was the one that got away.
And Clive, what a heavy hitting cat. You know,
Oh, my.
One of the biggest...
Oh, yes.
You've just heard his name so much. He's been so important to so many people. We just had Carlos Santana on not that long ago.
Oh, Carlos Santana. And that story, of course, I said to Clive, I said, that just gets me every time. It just brings tears to my eyes because there was the comeback.
Right.
There was the big blowout comeback. I said, that's a miracle that you did that for an artist who had put in so much time and so much work and so much gravitas and history and great music. And then there comes the relive, the rebound, the resurface. It was wonderful.
And even bigger, though.
Even bigger.
Finally, a fun story about Clive Davis. Back in 2022, Blue Oyster Cult's Eric Bloom was on the show, and we'd been talking about Blue Oyster Cult's connection to musician Patti Smith.
She was dating our keyboard player, Alan.
Okay.
And when we got our audition with Clive Davis, who was the president of Columbia Records, she was in the small audience of about 10.
How did you get to Clive and get that? And tell us about Clive in person, like what it was like.
I got two quick stories about Clive Davis.
Sure.
Murray Krugman, who was worked at Columbia Records, got us in the door. And he says, you have to do an audition for Clive. He didn't want to come to a club. He wanted us to audition in the Columbia building, which was on 53rd Street and 6th Avenue in Manhattan. It was like a glossy, sort of a tinted black glass building in Manhattan that everybody had nicknamed Black Rock.
Right.
So they cleared out a long rectangular meeting room in the 12th floor of Columbia Records, the table out, took the chairs out, and we set up along the short wall facing the other short wall. This is a room, a meeting room with like fluorescent lights in the ceiling. You know, so we set up against one wall, and then against the other wall were about 10 chairs facing us 25 feet away.
Right.
They dimmed the lights, so we were sort of in the dark a little bit. And Harry Nilsson was there. He just happened to be visiting that day in the building. Bobby Columbia was there. He was the drummer in Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Patti Smith, who is Alan's girlfriend, and Sandy Perlman, our manager, and other people from the record department, the A&R department of Columbia Records, like three or four guys, Clive Davis. And they faced us, and then we walked in the room and played five songs. Now, about the third song, Harry Nilsson got up and left the room. So I sang every song. I figured, oh, we must suck. You know, Nilsson just left the room. But about halfway through the fourth song, he came back in and sat down. So when the audition was over, everybody left. It was milling around. And Nilsson, I went over to him. Did a I'm not worthy kind of thing with him.
Yeah.
I said, why'd you leave the room? He says, I had to get a cigarette. So Sandy walks back in and says, Clive likes you and he wants to sign you. So that was our big audition with Clive Davis. Now, the second story, let's move forward 40 plus years.
Wow.
His induction into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, which was maybe 2019 or something like that. And I went because Blue Oyster Cult is already a member.
Sure.
They invited me to come and Clive was being inducted. So Clive is sitting down having dinner, and I walked over to him, and I told him who I was. And not only didn't he know who I was, he didn't remember doing the audition.
Oh, wow.
The guy was as big as Godzilla.
Yeah.
Remembering the late, great Clive Davis here on HPR, I'm Dave Lawrence.